Hey, Mort, this is Brian. How you doing?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Doing as well as possible. So here's the situation, and I really just need to figure out if I should continue going the route of what I'm doing. We're not actually married, but we've been together for 9 years, living together.
You've never been married?
Neither one of us have ever been married.
Okay.
She's almost 40. I'll be 44 this summer.
Okay.
No kids. None of that. So there's nothing to take into consideration as far as that kind of thing is concerned. Four years ago, she had breast cancer. We went through all of that. I stuck through it. And, like as if we were married, I was actually going to propose to her this past April 1st, which was the four-year anniversary of that diagnosis. So anyway, at this point, she's extremely obstinate. She, as far as I know, may be seeing somebody else. I've done some rather crazy things over the course of the last week regarding the someone else. It was before I got my workbook and everything.
How long have you been in the program?
A couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but the question really is, based on the fact that we aren't married, and even with this long term, and that she has decided that she has moved on, I'm no longer living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that she may be seeing somebody else. She won't tell me one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
What I should do. A lot of people have contradicted your suggestion of, the talk charges. They're like, don't communicate with her. Don't talk to her. Give her that space, time, and all of that. And even she pointed out, had I given some time and space and just left her alone for a little while, odds are we could be talking about getting back together, but as it is right now,
that's probably not true. When someone's asking for space, usually the worst thing in the world you can do is to give it to them, because they do all the wrong things with it, as your wife is proving. Not uncommon for somebody who's involved with another man to be asking for space and claiming that space is somehow going to be for the benefit of your relationship. You're a fool if you buy that. Right? It's not true. The space is not for the benefit of your relationship. It's for the benefit of their relationship. The whole problem with your relationship is that there's too much space. That's why you're all in this program. So to think that somehow more space is going to solve that problem is—I don't understand that thinking. I'm going to address two things that came up. One, I'm going to answer your question directly, but the direct answer to your question, I'm going to have to be very brief, because since you're not married, and I'll explain more about this in a second, your question, I think, is not going to relate to very many people on the phone. So I'm going to have to be very brief, and I apologize, but that's actually one of these situations where I think that my response won't be so helpful to so many people. So I'll be brief. But you also mentioned something else in passing. It wasn't your question. It was really part of your comments. But it's very significant, and it hasn't come up yet, so I want to address that also. So first, the part that's unique to your situation. Look, a lot of people feel that, marriage is just a certificate. What's really the difference? What does it really change? We've been together for 10 years. Essentially, we're husband and wife, but no, we've never got married. I do not subscribe to that thinking. In my worldview, in my opinion, there is a very substantial difference between being married and not being married. Sometimes people are shocked at the advice that I give to people that come to me that are dating, they want premarital counseling, or whatever the situation is. They're sometimes shocked because they're already familiar with the marriage fitness model, They're familiar with the kind of advice that I give couples, and they're just confused. You know, it seems like you're advising people that are married to fight to the end for their marriage and to go to great lengths to save their family. But what we're calling a family, the two of us, even though we're not married, you know, you're willing to just walk away from that. You're willing to advise so quickly and easily to just give it up. Because, and it's true, I really have completely divergent opinions about how to move forward in a relationship depending on the marital status. I think it makes a big difference. A marriage is a sacred union, and it warrants a Herculean effort. Very often there are children involved, but even if there's not, couple and wife that took those vows, that got married, I think they have an enormous commitment to themselves, to each other, and if you don't mind me saying, to God. And I believe that the effort they should make in almost every circumstances, except for physical abuse, should be Herculean. I think the opposite is true when a husband and when a man and a woman are not married. It's not that same, there's not the same sanctity of the relationship. It doesn't warrant, I don't think, the same level of commitment and responsibility to each other. And if things aren't right while you're dating, if things aren't right before you get married, that's a pretty strong sign that, you know, unless something very dramatic changes, I don't know how likely it is that things are going to be right when you do get married. And so I'm not telling you to give up or not give up, or I'm not telling you to give up or to push on. I'm just telling you that a lot of what you've heard in this program in terms of the level of commitment that people should have to their relationship does not apply to your situation. Now, on the other hand, a lot of what you have heard in this program in terms of the principles and practices of connection, principles and practices that the habits that form a solid relationship, they apply 100%. They apply. There's no question that a person could use the same principles and practices to succeed in a dating relationship or in a living situation than they could in a marriage. But again, where it's different is the kind of commitment. You've heard me throughout this program. Some of your spouses are behaving in horrific ways. And yet, my advice to you is to try this and to try that. I just got finished talking about the importance of endurance and consistency. And I have seen so many miracle situations turn around, and I believe that you're responsible for giving yourself the chance to witness a miracle in your situation. But if you're not married, then you don't have that same commitment. You don't have that same responsibility. And I think at the first sign that things aren't going to be right, then I think people should consider leaving and finding something that is more likely to be right. You mentioned something else that will be highly relevant for everybody, and I want to drill down into it a little bit. You said that other people are advising you to give her space and to not call her and to not do this and not do that. So let's talk for a few minutes about the quality of privacy, which is a foreign concept to most people, particularly in 2013, in an era where people are posting and tweeting and everything else, when they're going to the bathroom and what they're having for breakfast, and everything about their lives. But social contract does not determine the truth. In other words, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's good, and doesn't mean that it will be useful. Privacy is a very important quality in a marriage, and every single one of you are responsible for protecting the privacy in your marriage and your spouse's privacy. No one should be speaking to family and friends about your marital situation or your spouse. Now, I realize just about every single one of you, not just Brian, is probably saying, oops, oh my gosh. Okay, don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up for whatever mistakes you might have made in the past. Just please listen carefully and make sure you move forward in the right way. You should not speak about your spouse or your marriage to any family or friends. Why? Because it's a violation of your spouse's privacy. Because you can't speak about their marriage without speaking also about, sorry, you can't speak about your marriage without speaking also about their marriage, because it's the same marriage. And who said your husband or wife gave you permission to speak to so-and-so about their marriage? It's a highly private matter. And if they were to find out, they could be very upset. And the worst thing is they'd be justified. It will not endear you to them. It's going to hurt your cause. In addition to that, when you do speak to family and friends about your marriage, in every case, you're interfering with your spouse's relationship with that person. Because, look, let's be honest, you're not speaking favorably about your spouse, for sure, and you're putting them in a bad light. It's almost always the case. That's not right either. You shouldn't be interfering with your spouse's relationship with another person. In addition to it not being right morally, tactically, it's also a disaster too. Because if they find out, they could be very upset. And not only would they be upset, they'd be justified. And not only would they be justified, but you would have actually just erected a hurdle between here and reconciliation. You're actually making it more difficult now to reconcile. Why? Because in order for the obstinate spouse to finally turn around and say, okay, I want to try, I want to come home, I want to, you know, work on this, that is a pride-swallowing, ego-sucking experience. It's not an easy place to get to once someone's taken the position that they want out or that they're being difficult. You realize when you interfere with their privacy, when you interfere with their relationship with a family and friends, now not only do they have to face you and reconcile with you, but now they also have to face your sister, your mother, your best friend, and the humiliation and the difficulty of facing those people now knowing that they know what they know about what they did. And that's not easy. And when you speak to family and friends about your spouse, you're making it more difficult, less desirable, for them to come back to family life with you, because you've participated in ruining their relationship with peripheral people in the family, and so they start to feel like, you know, I don't want to have to deal with all that. I don't want to have to face Aunt Molly. I don't want to have to, you know, have that conversation with your mother. I'd rather just start with a clean slate and start somewhere else. So be very careful about that. Now, there's one more reason. Probably I saved the most important for last. There's one more reason why you should be very careful not to speak about your marriage or your spouse to family and friends. One more reason why you should very vigilantly protect the privacy of your marriage. And the reason is because your family and friends, you trust them. Now, I realize that requires explanation. Listen carefully. What's the key to influence? Most people think the key to influence is communication and persuasion. If I can communicate my point clearly and be compelling about it, then I will succeed to persuade you. I will succeed to influence you. But as most of you have actually found out in your current situation, it's not, that's not true. It doesn't work that way. Because most of you, before you got into this program, have tried desperately to communicate in the most compelling ways to your spouse to try to persuade them to take a different position in your marital situation, but you have failed. And it's not just you, everybody fails at that. Because the key to influence is not communication, it's not being right, it's not being compelling, it's trust. If I trust you, you can say anything to me, and I'll believe it. You'll influence me. If I don't trust you, you can have a monopoly on the truth and be the most persuasive, compelling person on earth. I won't hear a word you're saying. The key to influence is trust. Now, what's that have to do with your family and friends? The key to influence is trust. But just because somebody has your trust doesn't mean that they have the truth. It doesn't mean that they can be helpful. In other words, when your family and friend give you marital advice, like Brian got from his family and friends, because you trust them, you're going to listen so carefully. You're going to so seriously consider what they say because they love you and you trust them and they have your best interest in mind. The problem is they don't know the first flying thing about how to turn a marriage around. They're butchers, they're bakers, they're candlestick makers. What do they know? Do they have any experience? Have they ushered thousands of marriages to reconciliation? They mean well, but they just don't know. It's a fascinating thing about marriage. If you had stomach cramps for weeks and your life was in danger, they would never in a million years even think to give you any advice about what you should do or prescribe a medicine for you. But for whatever reason, when you go to people for marital advice, all of a sudden everybody's an expert. There are two keys to being, well, there are two keys that you want to look for, two things you want to look for when you go to somebody for advice. Instead of the two keys, let's call them the two C's, character and competence. Your friends, from your perspective, have character. In other words, you trust them. They're good people, and I'm sure that is the case, and that's important. You certainly wouldn't go to a doctor, a heart surgeon, no matter if he graduated from Harvard, no matter if he was a brilliant surgeon. You wouldn't go to him if he didn't have character, if he was an alcoholic, or if he was a swindler, because he might do the surgery just to fill his bank account. Or if he's an alcoholic, he might come in drunk. So it doesn't matter if he graduated from Harvard, doesn't matter if he's brilliant, doesn't matter if he's a great surgeon, he's got to have character. But he also has to have competence. You wouldn't go to your priest or your rabbi for heart surgery either. They might have character, but they don't have competence. In order to be a good advisor, when you go to somebody for advice, whether it's marital, financial, social, emotional, I mean, whatever it is, the person's got to have the two C's, character and competence. Your friends and family have character, but they don't have any experience. They don't have any skills. They don't have competence. And therefore, the advice you're going to get from them is going to be dangerous. Because you're going to take it to heart, but it's unlikely to be good advice. As most of you, as you've learned throughout this program, the process for going about reconciling a marriage is anything but intuitive. Most of the armchair junior high school advice that people are used to giving does not work. And it's the exact opposite of the right thing to do that's effective. So for all of those reasons, some of which were moral and some of which were tactical, you should diligently protect the privacy of your marriage. Don't violate your spouse's privacy, and don't speak to family and friends about your marital situation.